I came to Texas to find a dead man. I started looking just off a narrow, winding road a couple miles from the small town of Normanna. I thought I might find him here, in the spacious, tree-lined, surprisingly well-groomed San Domingo Cemetery. As I walk inside, I check each of the names on the tombstones. Roberts, Long, Bradford.
They buried him away from them.
I see one tombstone by the fence that surrounds the edge of the cemetery. It's off in the corner, away from the others, and this doesn't seem like an accident.
Why not in the cemetery, way out?
I get closer, and that's when I notice that the tombstone isn't actually in the cemetery.
I mean, who does stuff like that?
It's on the other side of the fence, facing the road.
There are no persons with Spanish surnames buried within the fence line of the cemetery. There is one headstone with a Latino surname, a man who died back in 1910, but his headstone is directly outside of the fence.
The fence actually turns so sharply that it cuts into the backside of the tombstone.
It's almost as if the fence was built specifically to exclude this one tombstone, which also happens to be the one tombstone with a Latino surname.
That name is Santiago Ramirez. Santiago's tombstone is old and faded, so you might think that this is just a passive remnant of a separated past. But it's not that simple. There's still someone trying to get into this very cemetery. And that was who I came here to find.
Turn left onto US 181 North.
Normanna is a tiny little town about halfway between San Antonio and Corpus Christi. And if you didn't know any better, you might drive right past the place without even noticing. There are about 100 people, a few small streets, a post office, a volunteer fire department, and then right on the edge of town, off a gravel road on the side of the highway, there's a small, squat house with a broken-down fence and a few dogs out in front.
You have to excuse things here. I haven't been too well.
That's Dorothy Barrera. She's 75 and wears her long red hair half up in a banana clip, and it stands out despite her dark eyeliner and her bright, ruffled blouse.
But my husband's ashes are over there on the backside. I can't stand to look at them. I get very upset, even now.
These are the remains of Dorothy's husband, Pedro Barrera, who passed away in 2016. They'd been married for over 40 years. Dorothy is a white woman from Indiana, and Pedro was Mexican-American. His family had been in Texas for generations.
He fell in love with me when he seen me dancing. That's how our life started. And all through the years we were married, he would tell me, I want to see you dance.
Dorothy and Pedro moved to Normanna a little over a decade ago, less for the dancing and more for the fishing.
We were always going fishing. He used to tease me and say, I never seen anybody in my life that could catch a flounder with a fish hook. I'd throw my line in and here I'd come.
Pedro got sick a few years back and Dorothy stayed home to take care of him. But she never planned that she'd still have his ashes at home a year after he passed away.
I feel very heartbroken that I had to have him cremated. Because he just kept telling me when he's sick, don't. I feel guilty.
Pedro didn't want to be cremated for religious reasons, but Dorothy didn't know what else to do with his body. She initially tried to bury him in the local cemetery, but she ran into trouble.
Since you're homeowners in this small community of Normanna, Texas, you're supposed to be eligible for a burial spot in the cemetery here, San Domingo. I asked Sam, he's the fire chief here. I said, Sam, you know, I need a cemetery spot. So he said, well, let me talk to Bradford.
Jimmy Bradford, the head of the cemetery board. Pretty soon, Dorothy would have a chance to talk to him directly. And just as a warning, you're about to hear a racial slur. One day, Dorothy was out with her caretaker at the post office. That's when she saw Jimmy Bradford.
We were at the post office, and he came out, and I said, Mr. Bradford, is there any way that I can bury my husband? He said, oh, no. I go, why not? And he goes, because he's a Mexican. I said, you got to be kidding me. No, I'm not. If you want to bury your husband, you take him about 15, 20 miles down the county road there. That's where we bury the niggers and Mexicans.
He had no shame in saying it like that, no remorse, nothing. He said it just like that.
Amanda Brown, Dorothy's caretaker.
Dottie started crying, and she came in the car, and I was like, I heard that. And she was like, she couldn't believe it.
I was with that man 40-something years, and I never looked at him as being Mexican. He was my husband.
Dorothy didn't have a place to bury Pedro, so she had him cremated. But still, she wasn't backing down. She needed to find someone, anyone who would listen to her.
So I called all the TV channels, and the one who answered my call was Channel 3 and Gibson.
I usually speak pretty loud sometimes, so you might have to turn it down a bit.
Michael Gibson.
I work at the ABC television affiliate here in Corpus Christi, Channel 3 News.
When Dorothy first told Gibson her story, he basically just thought,
it sounded far-fetched that someone was prohibiting her from burying her husband in a cemetery because he was Hispanic.
He decided to look into it, but he told his producers,
it's probably just a misunderstanding, and if it is, I'll straighten it out and I'll get them to bury him, and it should all be smoothed over.
He brought his camera and he went to find Bradford, the man who wouldn't bury Dorothy's husband. Gibson saw him in his driveway.
And I got out and I was asking him, you know, Mr. Bradford, can I talk with you? And he said, okay. He said, but not with that camera, but, you know, I'll talk to you. He said, well, you've got a woman right there that has her husband in her arms in the urn and has asked you to bury him in the cemetery, the community cemetery. And she says, you won't do it. He says, yeah, that's right.
Bradford told Gibson that Mexicans are buried in one cemetery down the road. African Americans are buried in an even smaller cemetery off in the woods.
And white people are buried here, and that's just the way it is. And I was just floored. I couldn't believe what he was saying. And I've got a microphone up to him, and he's saying it into the microphone.
He wasn't supposed to be buried there because he's a Mexican. Or Spanish descent, whatever you want to say. That's what I told her. So that's what we've been doing.
You know, I gave him chance after chance. Surely you don't mean this. I mean every word of it. This wasn't the media trying to just go up to an old man who didn't know better and just trying to get him to say one or two words and then leave.
Would y'all reconsider what you told her?
Well, I guess if she tells Obama and he comes down here and tells me, I guess I'd have to. Otherwise, no.
In case you didn't catch that, here's what he said. If she tells Obama and he comes down here and tells me, I guess I'd have to. Otherwise, no. Jimmy Bradford is just one man, but what he did with the cemetery isn't some sort of outlier. It comes out of a long history that's specifically Texan.
Texas has a structural segregation that is part of almost every city in the state.
Andres Tijerina, professor of history at Austin Community College in Texas. And he says that when real estate developers were founding new towns in the early 20th century, they actually used this structural segregation to attract new settlers.
One of the biggest selling points to them was that Texas was segregated. They didn't have to live near Mexican Americans or African Americans.
And segregation has a history in cemeteries. The first white settlers in Texas who came to an area full of Tejano towns saw one particular symbol that was hard to ignore.
I've read the letters of Anglo-Americans, the first ones to come into Texas in the 1820s and 1830s, and they remark that they saw the roadside crosses.
These crosses were memorials that were placed at the spot that someone died. And Tejano cemeteries themselves stood out because they were intricately decorated. On top of that, Tejanos had elaborate funeral processions through the streets, which, according to Professor Tijerina, only reinforced the differences between Tejanos and Anglos. These were obvious signs that the land once belonged to someone else. So the settlers tried to eliminate these signs by removing Tejano funeral homes. And over time, these cemeteries started to disappear, at least from the public eye.
There are unmarked cemeteries deep within almost every city of Texas that most people in Texas are not even aware of.
Settlers erased these cemeteries as they continued to seize land.
The lands were taken from the wealthy Mexican Americans, U.S. citizens, by violence that is so brutal, it would be worse than what you see in the modern horror movies today.
A lot of the land seized by Anglos was attached to extremely old Tejano cemeteries. Once the land was taken, the cemeteries were ignored, with cities rising around them as if they were just regular plots of land with no bodies underneath.
And so between two freeways, you'll have an old Mexican-American cemetery, a little dirt patch that people never bothered to mark as an old Mexican-American cemetery.
segregation in Texas certainly wasn't limited to cemeteries. As late as the 1960s, Mexican Americans had segregated parks, pools, and restaurants in Texas. And there were statutes which required schools to be English language only. But while parks, pools, and schools were eventually integrated, segregated cemeteries remain. There's something about the permanence of cemeteries that brings out people's deepest fears and prejudices. This type of segregation might be the last to die. Even today, it still hasn't ended. As we've heard, Texas has a long history of segregation, which is tied to cemeteries. But in 1948, there was one particular incident that was eerily similar to Dorothy's situation.
A soldier that had been killed in the last days of the war in the Philippines, his wife asked for his remains to be shipped back to Three Rivers, Texas, to be buried.
Gil Rodriguez, CEO of the Texas chapter of the American GI Forum, a Latino civil rights organization. That soldier he's talking about was Felix Longoria. When his remains were shipped back to Three Rivers and his wife tried to lay him to rest,
the funeral home refused to bury him.
War hero or not, only Anglos could receive services at the funeral home in Three Rivers. Longoria's wife got in touch with the GI Forum and they sent off telegrams in every direction. Most of them didn't get a response, but one of them caught the eye of a certain up-and-coming Texas senator.
LBJ took over and talked with President Truman in those days.
Then, on January 11th, 1949, at 4:59 p.m., Senator Lyndon Johnson sent a telegram to the GI Forum.
I deeply regret to learn that the prejudice of some individuals extends even beyond this life.
And so,
Longoria was eventually buried with military honors at Arlington Cemetery.
A Texas war hero refused burial in his hometown because of his Mexican origin is laid to rest at Arlington National Cemetery with America's most honored dead.
LBJ saw this as the highest honor for Longoria. But to some, the choice to bury him in Arlington was part of the same problem that led to the controversy in the first place.
A lot of people that I've talked to feel that they buried him in Arlington not to anger the whites.
Seventy years later, there are striking parallels to Dorothy's situation in 2016. Just like Longoria's wife, Dorothy was told that she couldn't bury her husband in her local cemetery simply because he was Mexican. So Dorothy called LULAC, the League of United Latin American Citizens, and this started a chain reaction. All of a sudden, LULAC, the GI Forum, the NAACP, they were all involved. And together, they organized a protest outside the cemetery.
It's a shame that I lived in a time where they said no dogs or Mexicans allowed, and now we have the same things going on.
And the similarities between the Longoria affair and Dorothy's situation weren't lost on the protesters.
Exactly the same thing as Felix Longoria. We're back at it.
I thought everything had changed, but it don't look like it. It looks like we're going back in time.
When I was in Texas, after I came from Dorothy's house, I stopped in a small office in San Antonio.
My name's Marisa Bono, and I'm the Southwest Regional Council of MALDEF,
the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Education Fund. Marisa felt that this was an open-and-shut case because of both federal and state laws.
There's, you know, the Civil Rights Act, and there's also a state law that says cemetery associations can't deny the right of burial because of race or national origin.
But Marisa still needed to prove that the issue came down to race, meaning there wasn't some other hidden reason as to why Pedro wasn't allowed to be buried at the cemetery. Remember Jimmy Bradford, the man who wouldn't bury Dorothy's husband? Well, his daughter spoke with a paper in Corpus Christi, and she said it didn't have to do with race at all. It was just a misunderstanding. So I wanted to get to the bottom of this. I wanted to hear from Bradford himself. Jimmy Bradford lives a couple miles from Dorothy at the edge of Normanna, in a mobile home by the cemetery. I parked my car, walked around back, and rang the bell. But when I told him I was a reporter, all he said to me was this, quote, "I spoke to a reporter once. I'm never doing that again." A dead end. But Bradford wasn't the only cemetery board member. So I went looking for others who might be able to tell me whether this really came down to race. There was a rumor that Ted Staples, a retired judge, might also be on the board. So I drove out to an even smaller town and found his house, surrounded by a big yard with barbed wire all around it. I found Staples sitting with a friend on his porch, and though he was willing to talk, he didn't want to be recorded. Staples confirmed that he used to be on the cemetery board, and he also said Bradford is a good man. In his eyes, this was a personal issue, blown way out of proportion by the media. Ultimately, though, Staples was firm. Bradford would never discriminate based on race. So I wanted to see what Marisa thought about all of this.
I mean, he was recorded on video saying otherwise.
He wasn't supposed to be buried there because he's Mexican.
Marisa clearly thought this was a no-brainer, and the defense ultimately agreed. Pretty soon, they settled out of court.
So it was just that easy?
Actually, yeah. Once it got to court, it was simple. But here's the thing. Cemeteries across Texas are still segregated, and in many of them, there are old rules still on the books that say this space is for whites only.
Wait a second, what do you mean that they're still on the books?
So when I was doing background research on this story, I was talking to this lawyer about Texas property law, and he told me that he's heard of cemetery deeds and charters all across the state that restrict access based on race.
So did you find any of these deeds?
Yeah, I called county clerks all over Texas to see if I could find old cemetery deeds. And I found all kinds of documents that showed segregation, like this map of the Oliver Cemetery in Smithville.
Whoa. It's like a little plotting out of this cemetery area, and it has one section that it says Black Cem, and then there's a line and another box that says Mexican Cem, Black Cemetery, Mexican Cemetery, and it's right here on paper.
Yeah, and I found this deed still on the books in the Farmers Academy Cemetery in Northeast Texas.
And you've highlighted this part that says, from this deed, the north half shall be deemed a free burial ground, and any white person may be buried therein without charge for a lot, provided that no Negro person shall be buried in either part of the said cemetery. Okay, but isn't this illegal?
Yeah, they are, which is why they can't hold up in court. But they still have consequences. I talked to a law professor about this.
Gabriel J. Chin, professor of law at the UC Davis School of Law.
Professor Chin says that laws don't actually do anything on their own.
The law on the books is just a piece of paper, and it has to be enforced by courts, and those orders have to be carried out.
That's how you can have the 1866 Civil Rights Act on the books, but still have segregated cemeteries across the state. If people don't challenge them, courts won't enforce them. And there's a power to the fact that these things are written down and can be accidentally followed.
These things have effects. They have no legal enforceability, but nevertheless, people obey them.
Now, there's one more thing. Even when cemeteries are clearly segregated, people often still want to be buried there.
Once you segregate the cemeteries, people are going to follow that.
Andres Tijerina, the history professor we heard from earlier.
Once a Hispanic family has been told, maybe in 1880, that Mexican Americans were not allowed to be buried in the city cemetery, well, then their family plot has been in a segregated cemetery for over 150 years. And even if you change the laws, the cemeteries are already divided. The structure is already there.
So that segregated map from Smithville, the mayor says it's not actively being segregated today, but still, if someone dies, they're probably going to want to be buried in their family plot, even if it's in a segregated cemetery.
So what is it going to take to fix this?
Well, the only way anyone in power is actually going to take this on is if specific cemeteries are challenged in court or if they're reported to the state attorney general. But the way that Texas law is currently written, the attorney general isn't required to act on any of these reports. In Dorothy's case, according to State Senator Judith Zaffarini, the cemetery was reported and still the government didn't act on it. Really, the toughest part of getting these things changed is that you need a perfect storm. You need a person of color or someone married to them who wants them to be buried in a white cemetery, which often isn't the case because families tend to stay together. You need someone going on the record about active explicit discrimination, and you need someone willing to wrestle with a complicated legal system, all while mourning the loss of a loved one. Which brings us back to Dorothy.
It hurt me over my husband. Even now, I'm hurt over it.
Even though the cemetery has said that Dorothy can bury her husband there, she still hasn't because she's worried about what might happen to the grave. And she certainly doesn't feel like San Domingo is a place where she can truly mourn her husband.
I was with my husband 40-something years, and I'm not at rest.
Cemeteries are the dusty corners of our history, and they're often the last parts of a society to change. But they're also living parts of our communities. We mourn there, and this is something that stays alive even after our loved ones have gone. Because of their permanence, they can be a reflection of our most deeply held values. We may desegregate cafe counters or water fountains, but at the end of the day, many Americans are still uncomfortable spending eternity underground next to a member of a different race.
Our thanks to Noam Hassenfeld for that story.